Hi, and welcome to the Let's K-12 Better podcast. This podcast is a project between Mamaville Kids and her kids.
Hi!
In our podcast, we will cover a variety of subjects involving K-12 education and family life.
We will talk about the ways that parents, kids, and educators can improve K-12 education and family life.
We encourage you to join our conversation on social media using the hashtag #LetsK12Better.
Let's jump into Season 2, Episode 13 of the Let's K-12 Better podcast.
A year ago, we discussed the importance of celebrating Juneteenth and commemorating the struggle for freedom and liberation of all people.
Juneteenth, also called Jubilee Day or Freedom Day, commemorates the emancipation of the last remaining enslaved black people in the state of Texas on June 19, 1865. Juneteenth is significant because after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed on New Year's Day of 1863, it took 2.5 years for all enslaved blacks in the Confederacy to be liberated. That means a large population of enslaved people continued to labor for 2.5 years after they were deemed free.
If we celebrate July 4th, we must celebrate Juneteenth. We must constantly think about the relationship between law and order and freedom and liberty. If black lives matter, then black liberation is just as important as white independence. How do we protect the rights of every individual? How can those of us experiencing freedom make sure that everyone in the United States feels that their rights are securely and confidently upheld by the Constitution?
Here we are a year later. Many family discussions and world-changing events have pushed our family to continue thinking about what liberation means during challenging times.
How do you find epiphanies, seek individual and collective healing, or find the capacity to keep pushing through the exhaustion during times that require us to keep going? We sat down with Jen Bloomer, artist, activist, workshop facilitator and the founder of Radici Studios, to discuss how art can help us on our journey towards a more just and equitable world. We hope that you enjoy our conversation. All right, we are delighted to have Jen Bloomer, artist, facilitator, and the founder of Radici Studios in San Francisco, join us today. Jen believes that the intersection of creativity, connection, and community hold the answers to our personal and collective healing. We love that. So, welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. All right. We have our first question with Sophia. All right. So, here we go. Let's get this party started.
You're the founder of Radici Studios. Can you share with our listeners why you started this organization and what services, experiences, and intangibles you offer to your community?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have always loved making art and making things with my hands. So even when I was little, I was making tons and tons of art. But I've also, throughout my life, had so many experiences where I saw the ways that art brings people together in, in really powerful ways. And I'll give you an example from my own life. My dad, when I was little, had a traumatic brain injury. And in my 20s, I was living at home and started to just start painting his portrait as a way to hang out with him. And his neighbors gave him a lot of grief because he builds these kind of wild sculptures in his backyard out of things he finds. They call it junk. I call it sculpture. But we created a community art show together and invited the whole neighborhood to come and to just really bring appreciation to the ways that different people express themselves. So, I've had a lot of other experiences teaching art in places where we didn't even necessarily speak a common language, but art was such a powerful way to feel connected and to feel seen and understood by people whose life experiences were really different from my own. So I actually ended up going back to school about 10 years ago to study expressive arts therapy because I'm so interested in the ways that art can really transform us as individuals and transform us on kind of a community level. But to get to your question, I started Radici Studios in 2017 with a focus on using art to create change on a number of different issues I care a lot about, but could probably be summarized in just thinking about respecting and caring for the earth and respecting and caring for each other and working to combat injustice. So I do this through creating my own art, through collaborating with others and facilitating classes. I teach an online class twice a year called Raising Anti-Racist Kids Through Art for parents and educators. And it's largely inspired by my own journey of being a white woman raising two multi-ethnic mixed race kids. And this spring, I am organizing a series called Deepening Your Anti-Racist Journey Through Art. So each week there's a different co-facilitator and we're focusing on topics like identity, building community, resilience. And each class is super unique based on the collaboration.
First of all, I just want to give you like a shout out and just say how amazing it is that you took a moment of what would be experienced as trauma with your dad's injury and then turned that into something just really beautiful and then welcomed in the community. So I just want to make sure that folks heard that part, you know, like how we as humans can take these moments in our lives and have them inspire us and lead us on our path toward our path. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. I feel like it either brings you down or lifts you up. You have to make a choice, right?
Absolutely. And we will talk a little bit more about the awesome workshop series that you have a little bit later in this episode. Garvey's going to dig a little bit more into the art and activism of it all. So Garvey,
you're an artist and activist. What motivates you to do this work? What have you learned along the way, and what keeps you going during moments where there's a collective outcry for justice?
You all ask such amazing questions. So my kids are such a big motivator for me in this work. My kids and all kids. I grew up with 15 younger cousins, so kids have been around me my whole life. And as a teacher, it's I just have felt so inspired by the insight kids have brought into my life. There are so many hard lessons I feel like I've learned along the way. And as a white woman, I've unintentionally said and harmed people without knowing it, or sometimes it's more like I've not said anything at all and in a moment when I should have spoken up. And I think I've learned that I just have to keep pushing myself to keep learning and growing and doing better the next time and really to keep showing up. I have this kind of mantra in my head of like, just keep showing up. Because that's really what I want my kids to learn how to do as they get older. They're 7 and 3 right now. And I also think, you know, you ask about the collective outcries for justice, which I think are so motivating and important. But I think it's going to take kind of a lifelong sustained effort for things to shift. So we can't wait till we've got it all figured out. And we've got to keep showing up.
I love that. I love keep showing up. Honestly, you should like turn that into a t-shirt with some bags.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm sorry, Jen. Like, there you go. That's a whole that's a whole line for you. Please do that. You know, I'll buy a couple shirts or whatever.
Amazing.
But like, listen, keep showing up.
I love
it. That's really what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, we are right now, we're recording right after the 1 year anniversary of George Floyd's murder. And this episode will be released probably in a week. But I think that that's something that communities of color have been asking, you know, especially their white allies to do, is just to keep showing up. So I just love that you highlighted that. And speaking about, you know, let's have Naima, I guess, talk a bit more about like how we work together.
Your work facilitates community connections and collective healing through creative expression. What do you think draws people to this kind of experience? What would you say to convince someone to join you at a workshop if they weren't sure this was for them?
You know, it's so funny because so many adults tell me that they can't make art. And usually it's because some art teacher or their parents or some person in their life told them, you know, you're not good at art. You can't make art. And then they stop. They never come back to it again. And I think, you know, we as humans, we all have creativity inside of us. And it you know, it shows up in totally different ways. You can be a creative scientist. You can be a creative astronaut. You can be a creative mathematician. And I think creativity brings, you know, brings life, brings innovation, brings, you know, outside of the box thinking to every profession, not just if, you know, you grow up and become an artist. And I think, you know, creativity kind of makes us feel more human. It makes us feel amazed by one another, more in community with one another. And I you know, especially in the last year, I've watched a lot of people read books on anti-racism and try and understand it with their heads. But really, I think creativity allows us to connect more with our heart. And that, to me, is where real change happens. So, you know, I think that connection is really such an important piece of this. And I think making art is really fun. I'm totally biased, but I think, you know, finding joy and finding things that bring joy in this kind of hard work of looking at these changes, this change that needs to take place inside ourselves and inside our communities, you know, finding that joy is what's going to keep it sustainable and ongoing. Because if you can't find that peace, then you're going to get burnt out and have a hard time moving forward and have a hard time showing up.
Yeah. Well, we have a few artists here who, you know, they definitely love creating. So I'm really, really excited for your series, just me personally, for that element of the reason why we do that, this. But also, you know, let's talk a little bit about, like, as someone digs into beginning to explore what's inside, you know, it's not always happy feelings, right? Yeah. So Sophia has a great question for you about that.
As people begin to explore often deep emotional wounds or even new and expansive ideas, what recommendations do you have as they connect to their creative selves on a justice-oriented collective healing journey?
Ooh, such a good question. I think the first thing we need to do when looking at any emotional wounds is to make sure we're resourcing ourselves. So finding community, finding other people who we can talk to when hard things come up, and paying attention to what helps you feel supported, what helps you feel good, and making time and space for it. You know, for me, I have a couple friends who I can really go deep with, who really get me, who can really hold me when I'm having a hard time, who know, you know, my history, who know what I struggle with. Also, just being with my kids makes me super present, and just their kind of joy at really looking at that, you know, butterfly that landed on that rock and the colors it has, and generally being in nature are things that help me feel really grounded. But everyone's got, you know, their own things, and I think recognizing what those pieces are is so important before delving into hard work like this. And creativity is all about putting things out there in the world and expressing yourself in some way. So it can feel vulnerable, right? You know, you're sharing your voice. You're sharing something that only you have explored. So, you know, at the same time, I feel like anytime you go listen to music and somebody singing, or if you go to a museum, anytime I see somebody kind of putting themselves out there and sharing, you know, what they have to say with the world, it feels like it gives me permission to do the same. And then, you know, there's suddenly a whole chorus of voices calling for change. So I feel like we have to kind of notice how to support that feeling of vulnerability, and then be willing, you know, to put it out there, and then just recognize how much more connected it ultimately makes us with the people around us.
Yes, I love that so much. I love also that, you know, you're kind of talking about this relationship, which for us, you know, the whole social emotional learning component is like going off in my head right now, mm-hmm. you know, where like you are taking this step outside yourself to share your feelings, to share your thoughts, your ideas, the beauty that you have within with a community of folks in a trusted and safe way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know it's safe or not yet, yeah. right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then like they have a responsibility, you know, to then honor that, right? Yeah. So I really appreciate you just highlighting that. Garvey, you have our next question.
We want to speak directly to our parents and educators right now. Can you talk about how to use art to create spaces that feel open and expansive when having tough conversations?
Yes. You know, one thing I find so powerful about art is that unlike a conversation where somebody says something, then somebody responds. Somebody, you know, the other person responds back and forth, back and forth. It's like, you know, watching a ball go back and forth across a court or something. But when you have art in the mix, when you're both creating next to each other, there's a lot more spaciousness in the conversation, which I think is so helpful when you're having hard conversations. And also, you know, some kids, some adults even, you know, they process things not through words, not through talking about it or writing about it. And I think the powerful thing in art is that it allows for new insights to come up. So I do think one of the things that's really important for parents and educators to remember is to not have an agenda when making art. Sometimes that's something that gets lost of like really paying attention that, you know, this is a process and you're not, you know, full speed ahead. It has to look a certain way. I think that that can kind of ruin the space. Spaciousness that art can offer, the surprises that come along. And I also think it's, you know, kind of the way that life unfolds. You know, you're making something and things don't go as planned. Maybe mistakes happen. The glue drips a certain way. The materials do something you didn't think. And it's such a powerful learning moment. And I've had a lot of moments when I'm doing art with my 7-year-old daughter and something goes, you know, really in a different direction. It goes, the thing doesn't attach the way we thought. And then she starts making a doorway and it leads into this whole different experience with it. So I think, that can be a hard thing to remember as well, but that it really ultimately leads to new ways of seeing something, to new creations, really.
And speaking of which, you and I are going to do something super cool together, which I'm so excited about, to hopefully provide these kinds of experiences and opportunities for families. So Naima, you want to ask the next question?
You and my mom have a session to commemorate Juneteenth, the June 19 holiday celebrating the emancipation of enslaved people. Can you both talk about what that will be like and what you hope folks will walk away with?
Okay, I'll go first. So this is going to be super amazing. I am just thankful that I was connected with Jen through a mutual friend of awesomeness to provide this kind of opportunity. We will be thinking about like, what does liberation mean, right? And thoughts about liberation versus freedom. Definitely framing that conversation from the standpoint of enslaved people, where you know that freedom exists, but there's still barriers to experiencing the fullness of liberation, right? Also like thinking about, you know, how do we communicate ideas of liberation and freedom to others. So this will be, you know, just a one, in my opinion, I hope, right? Like we'll get a little history lesson and then we'll talk about like, what is history and like, how does history also frame in our own experiences, frame how we view freedom and liberation and emancipation.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. I can just reiterate how glad I am to get connected to you, Amber, and your amazing kids. And yeah, it's going to be taking place on Saturday, June 19th. Juneteenth. woo, woo, at 10 a.m. And the sign up is at radicistudios.com. You can click on the workshops tab. And I know for some folks, that's a challenging time. So the recording is sent, will be sent even if you can't make it. There's a sliding scale so that folks can participate at different levels. The base price is $25, but it's $15 reduced price and $35 abundance price if you have extra to share with others who want to participate. And it's open to all ages and recommended for kids 7 and up. So I'm so looking forward to it. My 7-year-old is going to join us, and I really can't wait to, and hopefully have, we've got a great group signed up already, and can't wait to invite more folks to join.
And this is a virtual experience, y'all. So like, you know, anyone, anywhere, anyone, like, should definitely sign up and join. You know, this is going to be a wonderful community type of experience. We will have opportunities for you to connect with other people. And it's also not just like the kids making art and like you're observing. No, this is literally, you're going to be doing this and going through this experience as a family with your child. So I think this will be really beautiful. And I'm just thankful, Jen, that like you're in my life now. This is so amazing.
Oh my gosh. Me too. I can't, I keep telling everyone I know about this. I'm like, it's gonna be so cool. Yes. And please, also the thing to mention too, even if you don't have kids, please join. It is really for all ages. So, you know, educators, parents, others who want to learn more about Juneteenth, it's really appropriate for all.
Yes, yes. Sign up, y'all. Y'all better sign up. Here we go. So we, like, time flies when you're having fun. This has been super duper awesome. Where can everyone find you, right? Like, you've said your website. Please say that again. Please give the web address again. But what are some other places that folks can find you, connect with your work, learn more about you, tell the people?
Great. Yes. So my website, like I mentioned before, is radicistudios.com. And Radici is R-A-D-I-C-I Studios. It means roots in Italian, actually. My Instagram is Radici Studios, and Instagram is a place that, that's my social media place. I don't know how to use the other social media platforms, so that's where you can find me. It's the visual arts one. I do have a weekly newsletter that I send out that has actually been such a blessing this last year to kind of really feel, the Radici community. I share out weekly or biweekly opportunities, reflections on the creative process, resources, all kinds of bits and pieces that are going on. So, and I love connecting with people. I love hearing feedback. I love hearing thoughts. So I always write back to the emails as well. So you can find that information on my website.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, again, Jen, like, we've packed so much awesomeness and such a really compact, amazing discussion today. I just want to thank you so very much for taking time to hang out with us. I cannot wait to hang out with you on Juneteenth and have this really beautiful experience with you and your community. This is going to be super dope. So thank you so very, very much.
Well, and thank you. And Sophia, Garvey, and Naima, you are incredible. You really inspire me. I'm like, if I was like that when I was your age, man, the places you'll go. So thank you all so much for having me on here. And I'm so inspired by the work you all are doing.
Hey, what do we say, y'all?
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this conversation, please follow Jen Bloomer on Instagram at Radici Studios. That's RADICISTUDIOS.
In times where society is pushing back against injustice, how do we create space to celebrate and acknowledge victories? How do we build capacity to connect with our inner selves and with those around us? There is power in art as an avenue for individual and collective healing. Jen Bloomer said, "The powerful thing about art is that it allows for new insights to come up. When we gain new insights, we are recharged and reminded that we have the capacity to keep showing up.
We welcome you to join us with Jen at the Radici Studios workshop on June 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As we celebrate Juneteenth, the June 19th holiday celebrating the emancipation of enslaved people. Bring your family with you as we explore ideas about freedom and liberty. We've linked the workshop in the show notes.
If you have any cool epiphanies you'd like to share, please leave them in the comments or share with us on social media.
Each episode, we will share quotes that we find inspirational. Amy Sherald is a portraitist who depicts African Americans in everyday settings. She and Kehinde Wiley were the first African Americans to be commissioned by the National Portrait Gallery to paint official presidential portraits. She is the first woman as well as the first African American to ever win the National Portrait Gallery's Outwin Bushiver Portrait Competition. Her quotes.
Imagination allows you to bend the rules of the temporal world.
I'm painting the paintings that I want to see in museums, and I'm hopefully presenting them in a way that's universal enough that they become representative of something that's different than just a black body on a canvas.
Why can't I make up my own characters and paint the people I want to see in the world? I'm depicting the many people who existed in history, but whose presence was never documented.
I want all types of people to look at my work and see themselves, just like I watch a Reese Witherspoon movie as a black woman and can empathize with her because we have had to internalize whiteness in that way to survive.
Thank you for listening to the Less K-12 Better podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe.
We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media at Let's K-12 Better on all social media platforms, or connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, and Clubhouse at Mom of All Capes. We've got a newsletter with awesome resources and tools for families and educators. Please sign up. The link is in the show notes. Don't forget to sign up for our virtual workshop with Jen Bloomer. It'll be an informative and family-friendly event designed to help you commemorate Juneteenth in a thoughtful and artistic way. The link is also in the show notes. The Let's K-12 Better podcast is available on every podcasting platform. So if you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to rate and review our podcast. Your feedback helps us grow. Thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to see you at the workshop.
See you next time.